Okay. All right. So, Dave, we're going to do some Patreon content, and we're going to do a reverse smollop this week. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, look at you. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, here we go. Here we go. I don't know how long this... This might be the smallest smollop.
That's fine. I mean, it is what it
okay,
is.
Okay, so, Dave... We start October 16th, 1878.
That's a very long time ago. Back
year?
Before the horse.
It's true.
Existed.
When you actually...
They built horses in the 1890s.
Yep, thank you. You're good.
I am history man.
Franz Reichelt was born in Austria. So, you know, what?
Don't like it, but go ahead.
Oh,
don't like
okay.
him.
So
he's a problem.
So at 19, he moved to France. So, you know, 19 years old, goes to France. He's trained as a tailor. He's a pretty good tailor. And he even has a successful tailor shop in downtown Paris.
Wow.
But his tailor shop was mainly dressmaking and was aimed at Austrians on vacation.
Not expats, just ones there visiting. Because
yeah,
they couldn't get... Because you're on a vacation and you're like, I should have a new dress for a vacation? Are there vacation dresses?
I don't know. I think it... I guess it was maybe aimed at the affluent. But it was definitely... He was looking to give it to mostly Austrians.
I don't think anybody else vacationed back then except for the affluent.
Well, it's also, it was, his clients were described as, quote, beautiful clients. So
there we go. The
he
ugly
was looking
people
for
are poor.
Beautiful Austrian vacationers. So
blondes.
There you go. Blondes.
He's looking for blondes.
So he's got a pretty good tailor business going, but he's not satisfied with just the tailor shop. And I think we'll find in most of our episodes, there's someone's, yeah, they're just not, they want more. So he wanted more.
Yeah.
And his fuse really got lit in 1903 when something wild happened. And that's when the Wright brothers successfully flew a plane. And
okay, so I'm just going to put out there, I don't believe that happened. But go ahead. I don't believe.
And by the way, it was easier to fly then than now. Not a lot of people know that. 1903, when the Wright
well, you
it
could,
was just.
You, could, you
less,
didn't have to pay for it to check a bag.
You didn't have to pay for check a bag. It was less wait time at the gate. Your planes probably took off. But so for him, so this just obviously, as you probably know, like this, people's minds are blown. And so it opens up this whole new avenue of thinking with aviation exploration. And also because it was so dangerous. So many people are dying leading up to the first flight. For
Deserved.
Instance, the glider king. I don't think that's fair. The glider king.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to fuck with nature. You belong on the ground. You're ground things.
Well,
we're ground things.
The glider king takes issue with what you're saying.
Gareth, are we ground things in the natural order? Are we
grounders.
Ground things? Do you
we're
have wings?
Grounders.
Do you have wings?
My maxis do. So in 1986, in 1896, sorry, the glider king, he's credited with inventing the wing.
This is the
guy who invented the wing, and he basically he would jump off stuff with his wing, and you know he would rotate around. And people loved him.
One wing.
I'm pretty sure it's just like I think it's like, an equal wing. It's not just like
is
he's got
he,
like a right wing. He's not just right
he
wing.
Is he sitting down? Is he
no?
Standing?
I believe that he's standing. And he dies in 19. He dies in shortly thereafter by breaking his neck. So he,
okay,
whatever
so
it was, it wasn't great.
That was it. It was a great dollop.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's about the glider king. So Franz Reichelt, who's our main guy, he's the tailor. He wants to help. So he decides he's going to invent what's called the parachute suit.
Perfect.
I like to call it the parasuit. His invention would be, in the words of the Chicago Tribune, quote, a sort of lifeboat for an airman whose machine was wrecked. So
yeah.
You know, parachute.
You much like water, which you float in. This is a thing. So you don't float in air, but
this is a way.
This is how we float in air.
This is if Goose had this in Top Gun, your favorite movie, he'd be okay.
I've never seen it.
Goose dies.
And as far as I know, the goose you're talking about is about 2 foot tall bird.
No, he dies. It's Goose.
Goose dies?
Goose dies, yep. It's in a Top brutal Gun? Death. Yeah.
How did he die? In a sex dungeon?
No, it's pretty comical. He's trying to eject and the glass doesn't pop off like it's supposed to. So he ejects into the top of the plane.
And his head splits open.
I mean, he just smashes. He just...
Is he the guy with the glass?
And then he falls into a roller coaster and hits Fabio in the face.
Well, that's a great death. I got to look up which actor plays Goose. Go ahead.
Anthony Edwards.
That's who I'm thinking of, Anthony Edwards. Yeah. So he's not in the sequel.
Maybe there's a thing where he's like, Maverick, it was okay that you let me die. Like, maybe he's an apparition.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, Dave, parachutes work because you increase the surface area of the user while going down.
Yeah.
So that's how it worked. But parachutes up until this point were like canopies. So, you know,
so
like
not a parachute at all.
Well, I mean, it was different. It was a lot of stuff, and it was a canopy, and you would kind of float down. It's a blanket. It's what's in front of bodegas. You just put it on your back. This obviously has to be lighter weight because a pilot needs to be able to wear it. It also has to be heavy enough that it would save the pilot. And to be fair, you know, Franz, he wasn't the inventor of the parachute. Da Vinci had many designs of the parachute that they found. A French inventor, Louis-Sébastien Lenormand, jumped with a parachute in 1783. But he never obviously imagined of the plane. He thought parachutes would be helpful for people jumping from burning buildings during a fire.
Sure.
Have you ever seen that clip after 9/11 where the guy tries to sell his office parachute? And do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, God. No.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so this guy's like, it's after 9/11, and everyone's like, what the fuck? And this guy's just basically like, well, that's why you need the office parachute. And he's on the Today Show, and Matt Lauer's like, so you have to strap on a parachute when a building's burned? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, it's got to be hard to do. And the guy's like, it's not. And the guy's trying to do it in the heat of the moment. And he's totally struggling. And he's like, this is what I'm talking about. It's not easy to do. The 1800s saw daredevils using canopy parachutes to jump out of floating hot air balloons. In the 1900s, Charles Bordwick lost the wooden frame of the canopy chutes for a version that was much closer to what we use today. The problem was his parachute weighed 45 pounds. And it had to be pre-opened. So it was like a circus parachute. You could, like, he would drop, but it was like it needed to kind of be pre-opened, you know?
That's bad. That's a bad one.
It's bad. So, look, there's a hole. So we need a good parachute. And Franz knew this. And as a tailor, he got to work right away. He made his parachute out of silk, and he got the weight down to 25 pounds. Yes. It's still a big, bulky thing. It looks like... Yep. If you were to, like, leave your bed with your duvet on your back, it's still big and all that, but it's way closer.
That's
to
what I do
they need.
Every morning.
That's exactly. Yeah, when your wife tosses you out of the bedroom. So to test it, he starts by using dummies. He was tossing them from
Now, are you talking about dumb people or the things
no,
that are people?
Dave, you're better than that. Mannequins.
I don't think I am.
You're not. And he's just tossing them from his apartment window. So that's all he really knows. And I think it's like the third story. And they keep just smashing to the ground. Every now and then, one kind of floats a little bit. But for the most part, they're just dropping like stones. And he thought the height was the problem. He thought that he wasn't high enough up and that the dummies were too light. And that with higher altitude and with a heavier frame, it would all kind of work in conjunction. So he decided he's going to test the suit out for himself. So he puts the suit on and he jumps from 36 feet off of a building, and the chute doesn't
dies.
Open.
So no, that's bad. Here's what I know about parachutes. I don't have a great knowledge, but I know that if they don't open,
it's prop.
Then that's like not having a parachute.
It's prop. True. Very, very true. But thankfully, he laid a bunch of hay down before just in case, and he lands on that. But he still breaks his leg. And he said, quote, "The suit has not had the time to make contact with the air. If I had 50 or 100 meters instead of 25, the results would be wonderful. I will prove it one day," he said.
So he used the wrong, because it's making contact with the air. He's just saying it didn't have enough time to open correctly. He's talking nonsense. It makes me think he doesn't know what he's doing, because it makes contact with the air.
Well, nobody does. You're talking about trying to invent the parachutes, essentially.
He's a tailor. So he knows about air. Here's the thing about air. Everybody gets it.
He's a tailor. Hmm? Come on. That's a portmanteau.
I'll see you later.
He does think that if it has more time to open up, that'll work. He also felt pressed because the French Aero Club was offering a purse of 10,000 francs to anybody who could invent a chute that would be able to save a pilot's life during emergency. So
there's a lot of people going for this.
It's big. Everyone is trying to crack this nut, right? So in 1912...
Pierre and Lefranc and all the...
I'm having fun. So he goes there in 1912 and he tells them of the invention he has, that I guess isn't really an invention, and they pass. No. And they said, quote, "The surface of your device is too weak. You will break your neck," end quote. But he leaves and he's like, these dudes just don't get it.
This guy's going to die.
Dave, it's like early 1900s. Everyone from there is going to die.
No, this guy's going to die soon.
That's not fair.
In the story.
No way. This is a story about the guy who invented the parachute.
This guy's going to die really soon.
This guy lives. So they just didn't get it. So what he really, again, he needs a substantial height. But he needs a height more than any building that he can really gain access to fully test it.
And he's in Paris?
He's in Paris.
Eiffel Tower.
So Franz Reichelt began asking the police to allow him to test it from the Eiffel Tower. And they said no. They were like, we're not going to allow you to do that. But he just badgers them for like a year. And then they finally are like, all right, you can do a dummy test from the Eiffel Tower. And he's like, fuck yes. So February 4th, 1912 was the day. And members of the press show up for the demonstration. And he goes out there. And again, he's got like, it's kind of like a showy thing, right? So he's kind of showboating for the press. And he says, quote, "My new invention is like nothing else." Reichelt,
what terrible last words.
"It's constructed basically half in waterproof fabric and half in silk, thanks to a system of rods and belts that one can control. The parachute deploys during a fall and will save the pilot's life."
Okay.
And, you know, there's a good amount of press. And at 7 a.m., as he's about to go up there, he reveals to some friends a horrifying twist. He had not brought a dummy.
Oh, my goodness, this guy's dead.
So he has the suit on, and he tells them the reason why he has the suit on wasn't to just sort of show off to the press at how it looked, but it's because he's going to do it. And
he hasn't
done it
successfully, right?
There's been no successful test, but to him, it just needs more. He needs more time in the air for it to be successful.
It needs more contact with the air.
Yeah, it just has to. You know when you had those little dudes, those little army dudes, and you'd throw them in the parachute? But if you threw it off a roof, it would like catch. He's working under that.
Gareth, I see no problems with this plan. None.
So he tells his friends, and his friends beg him not to do this. And he laughed it off, and he said, quote, "I intend to prove the worth of my invention." So
this is how inventors are born.
So then Franz Reichelt walks the steel stairs of the Eiffel Tower with the parachute suit on.
Everyone's waiting down there for like an hour, right?
It's about an hour, yeah. And everyone is like, oh, the dummy. They're like, it'll be interesting, but whatever. But he's holding the bulky fabric as he made his way up. And he really thinks that it's the weight of his body that's going to help.
Sure.
And it would finally make it operate as he designed it. But again, he's only done it from 36 feet and he broke his leg. So at 8:22 a.m.
Why wouldn't you do this over water?
It's a fair point, but I think from, a strong height, water turns into concrete at some point as well. So, I guess it's just, it would have absolutely made more sense to do that. But again, everything's going to be fine. So at 8:22, he's at the jump spot. And he moves a small table over to the edge of the Eiffel Tower, and he steps on the table, and he gets to the edge, and he takes out a newspaper, and he tears it up, and he tosses the newspaper in the air, and he's judging for air patterns. And he's got a few friends up there, declares that the conditions are perfect as there's little wind to compete with. Now, the reporters on the ground are, like, looking down, and they're like, oh, it looks
looking up.
They're looking up at him and they're like, oh shit, like that looks like he's at the edge, and they start to get a little more interested in this story. So
because they're gonna see a guy die.
There are cameras at this time, so like people are starting to like, they're getting a little more interested. So then he's at the edge. He's on the table. He's at the edge of the Eiffel Tower with his parachute suit on, and he just stands there for 40 seconds. And
I would have stood there a lot longer than that.
It's a brutal 40
seconds. I don't like to jump off a 10-foot diving board, so I'm going to be there a while.
And maybe he was getting his confidence. Maybe he's like, well, is this going to work? Or maybe it's just total fear. But
or he was saying a prayer because he's about to die. Like, he could be saying goodbye.
Well, all his friends were like, yeah, he's definitely,
stop it.
I think he feels pot committed. So then he turns to his few friends and he says, a bientôt. Or see you soon. That's the quote.
Yep. And he will. They will see him soon. He won't see them soon.
The Chicago Tribune, quote, for a second it seemed as if the parachute was about to open in accordance with the
invention. You know what we're inventing? The human pancake. That's what's being invented right now. The human pancake.
For a second
pancake.
It seemed as if the parachute was about to open in accordance with the inventor. But it shrunk together again and he fell like a stone, striking the ground in less than 4 seconds. His suit had no...
I thought we had it all worked out.
His suit had not even really deployed properly. It just tangled around him. Popular Mechanics later described it as, quote, Reichelt dropped like a stone. The impact broke his back and legs. His body went 7 inches into the frozen ground. His death, French newspapers stated, was instantaneous. And the police rushed in, but the Flying Taylor, as he would be known, stood no chance.
No.
He was.
That's
he was
a totally wrong name. He's the Dropping Taylor.
And Dave, like I said, it's kind of early, but there were news cameras rolling.
God damn it.
And so if anyone is squeamish and they don't want to watch this man jump from the Eiffel Tower with his chute suit. By the way, that should be a song. Shoot, suit, riot, riot! Don't watch, but if you do want to watch, I'll show you this man's jump. Here you go. So you can see it's bulky as fuck.
Yeah, he looks like a Bedouin or some sort of
Yeah, it looks
Star
like
Wars
he's made like a pillow
character.
Monster, yeah.
And that's not working at all. Oof.
He really Wile E. Coyote's it.
That's very unsexessful.
You can see there, they're measuring.
They're measuring how deep he went. Yeah, look at that. 7 inches. He went into the ground.
Yeah.
A lot.
And,
that is the earliest, funniest home videos video.
That's true. And that's the story of the Flying Taylor. And to add insult to horrendous injury, Dave, it was all in vain. Because in Russia, Gleb Kaltynikov had already invented a backpack parachute the year before. They
fucking
just didn't know
Gleb.
About it yet.
Everybody gets glebed. That's what happens.
I think it was Gleb. But this
Gleb.
Is,
there
this was on Medium, Amusing Planet, Popular Mechanics. That's the story of the Flying Taylor.
What a sad, pathetic man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, I think.
I mean, there's confidence and then there's confidence, you know, like there's confidence, like I can win this race, but having confidence that you've mastered physics when you're not a physics guy. It's, you could also, this, there would also be, you could have also made smaller versions. Well, you use the dummy,
like,
or you just do, what about, yeah, like a smaller version to see if it works or whatever. I don't know.
Or you could have talked to
this guy's
dumb. You
could
have been like, hey, you know stuff. Like, is this going to work? But he was just like, he was a tailor.
Yeah, he's a tailor. He knows how to sew, and that translates to flight.
Yeah, but I really wanted to do a dollop on this guy like years ago, but there's just not enough to the story.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's a bunch like that. Like, you're just like, that's it. The story is that he jumped off a building.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Shaggy Dog, where it's just like, yeah, you're...
Yeah.
I think as you proved, you see it coming a little bit, but
yeah,
but it is. But that footage is crazy. The first time I saw that footage, I was like, oh my God, because he may as well not be wearing a parachute. I mean, he literally just jumps.
Yeah, no, it's a guy in a bag dying. That's
yes.
It's a guy putting on a garbage bag and he dies.
A man bag died. Exactly. So there you go. That's that's the small and I think we'll put this out so that it'll pretty much be on the anniversary
of his death.
That's also exciting. Yeah, February 4th.
Good day to die.
February 4th, he passed on.
Very good day to die.
What's great about that move too is that you kind of self bury.
That's right. They can just put some dirt over you, and then
they just need
to take
some of the dirt around you and plop it on. So that's cool.
Wow. I mean, and then they clearly called him the Flying Tailor. It was a sarcastic name.
Well, I mean, he really falls for a little bit.
But no, the Flying. They called him the Flying Tailor. He's actually
the Falling
Tailor.
I'm not
going to
get into the semantics of what is flight and what isn't, but it seems like he was
flying. He's not flying.
He wasn't.
He's absolutely not flying.
Well, again, I mean,
there's no flight happening.
He was airborne. He was airborne.
Well, he was falling. He's falling down. That's not the same thing.
He was in the air. He's in the air. So the Flying Tailor, buddy. You're welcome.
I don't know if you're welcome is the right thing.
Happy anniversary to a real one.
A real one?